Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Cloud Networking, Unscripted with Numan Mustafa and John Gonzalez. So today we have a very special guest, Phil Davis, who is going to be talking about healthcare customers, right? So we have been talking about technology and cloud networking and lessons learned, but today our focus will be healthcare and how customers in the healthcare industry are innovating and what their journey to the cloud looks like. Phil has been working, he's an industry specialist, have been working with healthcare customers for 20 plus years, know a lot about on-prem world, have a good background with Cisco, VMware, and now have been working with AWS, Azure, GCP, Oracle for 2+ years. And most importantly, knows the pain points that customers in the healthcare industry are dealing with. And here we want to just focus on his lessons learned and what he would like to have people take away in terms of what they should be doing and the best practices that he's seeing. So Phil, welcome to the show here.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Numan. Thanks for having me. Hey, thanks, John. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
We call this a tea podcast, right? So let me ask you this. What type of, are you a coffee guy or a tea guy, or what type of tea do you like?
I guess I'm a little both. I do like coffee, but I like tea as well. So I've already had my coffee today, so maybe I'll grab a tea for this.
That's great. So Phil, what I wanted to find out is from your experience working with healthcare customers, right? What is driving the move to the cloud, and what are some of the specific lessons learned that you have seen working with those customers?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And, you know, we have a lot of healthcare customers here in the Midwest where I am. And, the big move that we're seeing with these guys is really all around, you know, how can we get into the cloud, and how can we move our maybe we're moving databases into Azure, maybe we're trying to do development in AWS, and we want to move this in there. But the most important thing with these healthcare companies is security. I mean, more than anything, when I'm working with these guys, that's paramount. I have to make sure that when I put it in the cloud, it's secure. You know, I have to be able to handle audits. I have to be able to make sure that it's encrypted. I don't want any of this traffic out there where anybody can get access to it, right? This is important, you know, customer data, which for them, we're the customers, right? It's the patient data. It's the people that you need to make sure this is, you know, definitely safe and secure. But at the same time, a lot of these guys are looking at how do I move in here and make it to where it's something that I can operate? How can I make sure that this migration is able to move pretty seamlessly, pretty easily? Because, you know, most of these customers in the healthcare, they're not new to cloud, but they still have a lot on-prem. So as they move these into the cloud, they're maintaining both environments. You know, they're worried about how do I make sure that my on-prem connectivity is going to the cloud? How do I make sure that my cloud is secure? How do I make sure that I can see what's happening in here? And that's really something that Aviatrix really helps them out a lot with.
That's great. So, Phil, one question I have is, healthcare always have deal with this compliance and auditability. And obviously, when you're moving to the cloud, there are a lot of things that are unknown, right? So people who have been really experienced in designing security postures in the on-prem world, they come to the cloud, they start working with the CSPs that tells them that, hey, we do everything. And later they realize that there's a lot of gaps, right, which basically stops them to innovate faster. And then audit comes in, then compliance comes in. So what has been your experience, and how do you normally recommend people to be able to build a foundational security posture for those customers so they don't have to redo and pay heavy fines or get into trouble with audits or compliance? So what has been your experience, and how customers are able to maneuver this where they want to go to the cloud for this agility and speed of innovation and digital transformation, but at the same time, they don't get bogged down with these compliance and audit needs, which are important for a lot of reasons, right? But needs to be a balance of both. So how do you normally see or recommend customers?
Right. It's a very good point. Very good question. Yeah. I mean, and that's huge with healthcare more than anyone. It's all that auditing, you know, so security always slows everything down is the truth of it. Now, security is super important. It's not meant to slow things down, but when you've got to make sure it's absolutely secure, go through audits, and, you know, auditing and security are going to impact your ability to move quickly into the cloud a lot of times. And so we have, you know, at Aviatrix, we have our multi-cloud network architecture, which, you know, the cornerstones of this are security and visibility is why I always look at it. So with our architecture, with our model, you know, we encrypt everything, and we provide them to have that encryption under their control. So a lot of these cloud providers will say they do encrypt some of the traffic, they encrypt all the traffic, they try to encrypt all the traffic. You'll get different responses like that. The healthcare customers, you know, it's important to them to say, you know what, I know it's encrypted. I own the encryption. It's my encryption. It's my data. So we're able to help them with that. So by giving them the ability to encrypt throughout their environment under their control, have them to where we're using, you know, a feature like Copilot, where it actually keeps track of any changes in the network, even by a user, and gives you historical changes, gives them the ability to see this as it's happening, any changes. You're not looking at, you know, a year audit or a 6-month audit where everyone hates this time, got to get through this audit. You know, now the audit becomes simple. Now the audit is easy and it's continually being checked. So that's really helpful. So with the tools that we provide them and the ability to move them into the cloud, it makes it very easy for them to achieve what they're trying to get while maintaining a consistent audit state.
So Phil, could I just...
I don't know if that answered your question, please.
It does.
Could I just sort of double click on that? Because the healthcare is heavily regulated, and with Aviatrix, they have that evidential data that they could pull out and demonstrate to audit compliance externally, internally, that yes, we do have the controls in place, we have the security, we have all of the good segmentation in place, nobody can access our data, etc. Do you have an inkling as to how the other parts of the healthcare organization are doing this where they're not using Aviatrix? Because if they're going cloud native, how are they providing that evidential data? Or is it just keep my fingers crossed and hope I've never been asked?
Yes, no, I hope they're not just crossing their fingers, or at least I hope that's not all they're doing.
Yeah.
In those cases, when you don't have Aviatrix or don't have the ability to maintain a basically consistently audited state, what these guys will do are various different things that I've talked to customers and found. So obviously one thing is you're reviewing any of the cloud native security groups that are there. And when you're in, you know, one or two or three clouds, now you're managing and monitoring all of these different security groups that are operated in different ways across different clouds. So it's a much more manual process. That comes back more to the what I said earlier, where it's maybe it's every 6 months, maybe it's every year, where, you know, a lot of customers are like, oh no, we're going through an audit. I can't schedule any meetings for a week or two because we're going through this painful process. And I even have some customers that have taken VNets or VPCs and isolated them. So no, we don't, you know, anything that connects here, we have to worry about getting audited. So rather than making this useful or easy where it could, you know, interconnect VPCs or VNets, even within the same cloud, we're going to do individual connections to these VPCs and VNets. And then maybe traffic's going from one to the other, coming back to on-prem each way. Mm-hmm. So it allows them to more easily audit it because now it's an individual connection. But, you know, first of all, that really goes against the idea of moving to the cloud. You're paying cloud egress charges with all that data that comes back and forth. So it's not the best way to do it, but it's easier for them to get through the audit. So, you know, that's the problem I see, is that without something like Aviatrix, you have to either take, crazy measures to make sure the audit is simple, or you have to go through these long, arduous audit processes to try and make sure that you're getting through, you know, what is required. And then any changes that need to be made, you make them. And then again, okay, now we're done for another year or 6 months, and now they can relax. But who knows what's happening in that time? You know, you don't want to find that 2 weeks after your last audit, you had some problem. You didn't find it till your next audit.
Exactly. And that's what I see happening with a lot of regulated industries. They think, okay, I've passed that one. I don't have to worry about it for 6 or 12 months. Time. Anything can happen in between. That's the problem.
Exactly.
And it does generally happen in between.
Yeah. So Phil, I have another question about specifically for healthcare customers around org structure and skills. And I mean, some of the most happiest customers I've seen at Aviatrix are belongs to the healthcare industry, right? And I also see that a lot of them are actually multi-cloud because they are in AWS, they're in Azure, they're in GCP. And what I'm saying is there's a beautiful thing called marketplace, right? In all of the cloud providers. And the beauty of that, so it's not just about, you know, CapEx and OpEx and, you know, I can scale up and down on demand. It's also about ability to have services on my fingertips, right? Which I can use to grow my business. That's the beauty of the cloud, in my opinion. It's not just about, you know, okay, I have a hardware and there's somebody's managing and I'm just paying as I'm consuming them. And a lot of this transformation that is happening, you know, would require access to multiple clouds. And obviously, you know, people who you have and staff, they may be either, you know, ramped up in one cloud or they're coming from an on-prem background. You know, as things are becoming mission critical, businesses are now asking, you know, enterprise cloud security and IT to take over, because that's not a DevOps job to sort of manage and maintain networking and security in the environment, right? So in your experience, what you have seen and how healthcare customers are organizing their team, how they are basically fast-tracking the knowledge of their existing staff, because it's not like they don't know their stuff. It's just that they need to fast-track that and become relevant in the cloud to start supporting the business. So what has been your experience and what would you advise if customers who is starting their cloud journey? They may be starting with one cloud, but I'm pretty sure because of this agility that people are getting from these services in different clouds, they will be multi-cloud. So how would you tell them to be ready for that innovation?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. What you're describing there is really a universal problem, right? We see it in all our customers where, you know, I'm in multiple clouds and I'm trying to operate individually, or you're looking at it saying, no, I'm in one cloud, which is great, but everybody's in one cloud until they aren't, right? And it's all of a sudden now you're in another cloud. And those decisions to go to multiple clouds are usually not made by the DevOps people or the people that are actually deploying the workloads in the cloud. And then to your point of, you know, maybe I'm a DevOps guy and I deployed it there, but then I don't want to be called every time that it needs to, you know, something needs to be taken care of, or there seems to be a very small problem. So when you start looking at scaling and operation, that becomes a huge piece of it. So that to me is really a universal problem. But what I've seen in the healthcare group and what those people that I've worked with are doing, which I think is really great, is it's a combination of, you know, working together, not, you know, trying to break down the different teams. If I'm in AWS today and I'm in Azure tomorrow, as an example, I want teams to work together. I don't want these operating separately. And then one of my favorite models is one of our customers that actually took different people from these different groups. So they took networking people, they took, you know, DevOps people, they took, you know, security people, whatever they needed to work in this cloud, understanding all those pieces are going to be there. And they had them pulled together and actually removed them from, in one case, they actually didn't just create another team of these guys, but actually made them a new department. So they took some people from each one of these. You're a security guy, you're a DevOps guy, you're a, you know, a network guy, and you're now what we're calling the cloud enablement team. And this cloud enablement team, it's actually a new group. They're separate from everybody else, and they their whole goal is to do things right for the company in the cloud, right? Kind of remove them from the external influences of what I see a lot of times, especially you look at the security side. If I'm a security team, I'm working on all these different security areas, not just the cloud. The cloud is one piece of it, so I have to focus on that a little bit, but I keep getting drawn away. Same with networking. So, you know, and any of the compute and the servers as well. So if you start putting these guys together and they're working together as a team, their main goal now is to make sure the company is able to move quickly and easily into the cloud. I have one customer that, you know, they moved 4 physical data centers to the cloud in 4 months, and they were ecstatic about that. They said, we couldn't have done this without Aviatrix, right? This was great. It was beautiful. They set up his infrastructure as cloud. They deployed it, but it was this team working together and using Aviatrix to be able to make that happen. And it's that model where the groups actually live as their own company or their own team, excuse me, within the company focused on cloud instead of just, you know, being a side job.
And I bet you those individuals just focusing on the cloud and they don't have their other, you know, they've let go of their BAU jobs. I bet they're the happiest individuals in that organization because they're working on the latest and greatest. They don't have the boat anchors tied to them anymore from the on-prem world. And I remember, Newman, we spoke about this in one of our earlier podcasts where, you know, if you want to be proficient in the cloud, you have to do it full time. You can't do it part time, you know?
Yeah, it's a full-time job.
That is very true. Yep.
Yeah, and yep. I think, and also I think, Phil, you made a great point, right? Is the agility and the speed of how you can make things happen for your business is critical. I think we can all learn each cloud separately. You know, it takes time, it's complex. And I think after two to learning two clouds, you will sort of give up. Human will give up saying, hey, I don't want to learn the third cloud, right? You would want to have that abstraction that Avitrix provide. But the problem is here. So now your business will ask you to go and give you access to the services that brings revenue to you. And what one good example is for a customer who was in AWS for the most part, they wanted to start a new revenue stream that was relying on a service in Azure that does a pathology report assessment based on analytics, right? So when you all over the world, when you go to a doctor and then you have those pathology prescriptions in the paper format, what they do is they take all of that, do make, so they have a data of all of those, you know, symptoms as well as what were the recommendations from the physician. And what they do is they have this AI and ML based service that basically becomes the source of the revenue that you generate. So from a business perspective, you know, they will come to the infrastructure team and they say, I want to be able to access this service in this cloud securely, right? And because it has critical data, it needs to be segmented. And I need to be able to do it in a way where I can hand it over to my operations team so that they can manage it in day two, and needs to have visibility and auditability, right? So the request will come from the business, and from a cloud enablement team or cloud infrastructure team, you need to have a right architecture that will allow you to do this very, very quickly, because you don't want to lose against your competition. So that's how the market is heading. It's about nimbleness, it's about agility, but doing at the same time, you're doing your security and auditability and scale and availability. So anyway, so Phil, I think what we want to leave our audience with is three key takeaways from your experience working with healthcare. So anything you would want to leave them with?
Yeah, definitely. So the things that I definitely see consistently working with healthcare, the important pieces to me, like I said, that really around, you know, security, that's a huge piece of it. And we're able to provide everything they need on security, secure access, connectivity, segmentation, like you mentioned, isolation, but still being in the cloud. You know, I don't want to be in the cloud and then disconnect from everything else, because that really doesn't benefit the company at all. But security has to be there. You know, the simplicity of running the environment, the operational piece of it that we provide, that would be another thing, right? That's the other piece that healthcare companies, I really see it resonates with them. That's something they're all looking for. I need to be able to operate in this environment. I need to be able to support this. I mean, healthcare is important. I can't have outages. I can't have, you know, zero visibility as I'm trying to figure out where this traffic just disappeared. So that's a huge part of it. And then I think, like what you just said there, the skills gap, right? As I'm looking to migrate and move into the different clouds and having to maintain, because a lot of these guys in the healthcare, they have large presences on-prem still. So I need to maintain both of these. So you know, the skills gap that we actually be able, you know, we're able to abstract that and give them that one interface for all their clouds. So those, I think, are the three things that I think would be most beneficial and that I see that the healthcare companies are really looking for.
That's great. All right, so this is a very good lessons learned, Phil, from you. You know, we will look forward to having more, helping more healthcare customers here at Avitrix. If you guys need to talk to us, come and reach out info@avitrix.com, or just come to our website, and then some solutions architect will be able to connect with you. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, John.
Fantastic, Phil. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mon. Thanks, John. Yep. Thank you.